Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Once they start to go, oh, this works, oh, there's money in the bank from your efforts. Oh, I can directly tie that ad dollar to the profit I just made. The conversation completely changes.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Rick Mulready here. This is episode number 111. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate that. Got a really good episode for you today. My friend and former student, Rob Bailey, has built a very successful Facebook ads agency for himself. And we're going to be talking with him today about that. His agency specializes in managing Facebook ads for the health or fitness niches. And as you're going to hear during my talk with Rob today, he works within a niche within those health or fitness niches. So that's going to be a big focus for the episode today, how Rob has niched down to specialize in a specific type of client that he loves to work with. But it wasn't always that way though. For several years, Rob ran kind of a, like what I like to call a jack of all trades online marketing agency. And frankly, it did not make him happy. So we're going to dive into his story today and how he's built the Facebook ads agency that he has right now, what's gone into it, how he got to where he is today. And man, in talking to him, he is happier now. From what I can hear in his voice, he's happier now than I've known in the last few years. So super, super psyched to bring you this episode here with Rob. Now, before we dive into it, we've only got six spots left, so it may or may not be full by the time that you listen to this. So if you are interested in it, definitely check out rickmulready.com/live. This is not your normal run of the mill live event where you get, spoken at all day. FBA Live is a 3-day intimate workshop experience where you're going to learn cutting edge online business building strategies, tips, and tactics that are working right now to grow and automate your business. And if you're one of my FBA Advantage or FBA Advantage local students, you get a special discount to attend. So be sure and get in touch with me or in the Facebook group. We will get you that discount code. At FBA Live, you're also going to have access to and learn from some of the smartest and best online entrepreneurs around, people like Amy Porterfield, Pat Flynn, James Wedmore, Amber McHugh. We've just added copywriter Sarah Greer to be there and more. I'm really, really excited about having all of my guests there for you guys at the live event. You're going to be surrounded by other like-minded entrepreneurs who are trying to grow their business just like you. And this is an opportunity for you to implement, with the help of me and my team, your Facebook ad strategy to grow your business. We're going to be there personally helping you, looking over your shoulder to make sure that you're walking away with an active, high converting campaign. If you're already doing Facebook ads right now, your Facebook ads are going to be better by the time that you leave this event. I want you to be walking away from the event with everything done the right way. So we're going to be helping you discover those blind spots, the things that may be getting in your way of effectively marketing your business online. And then we're going to fix them for you on the spot. So FBA Live is going to be December 9th, 10th, and 11th here in San Diego, California. So to check out the full agenda and sign up to reserve one of those remaining spots, simply visit rickmulready.com/live. All right, let's get into the episode here with Rob. We covered today the strategy that Rob used to get his first Facebook ads client. This is one of those questions. Actually, what we talk about here today, I get questions about almost on a daily basis from people who want to be running Facebook ads for other business. And this is really what we start talking about here today. This is really a good glimpse into what my new program in January, after the in the first of the year, is going to be for Facebook ads managers. So this is going to be a good glimpse into what the types of things that you can expect in that program. So we get into the strategy that Rob used to get his first Facebook ads clients, how he charged his first Facebook ads clients, why niching down has now allowed Rob to interview potential clients, not the other way around. Pretty cool stuff there. How he's able to offer a money back guarantee on his Facebook ads management services, why looking at other offers in the niche that you're working with, so the business that you're going to be managing Facebook ads for, why looking at other offers in that specific niche can be an invaluable experience and lead very much to the success of the Facebook ads campaigns that you're running for your clients, why video can be the difference between a home run Facebook ads campaign and a complete strikeout of your Facebook ads, and why clients need to have a follow-up system in place in order to have successful Facebook ads, and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here's Rob Bailey. Rob Bailey, welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. How is it going, my friend?
Going well, Rick. Thank you, sir, for having me.
Absolutely. I am so pumped to have you on here. We were catching up last week and you were filling me in on everything that you've been doing this year. I mean, we're recording this early part of November, so you've had most of the year to be working on stuff, and you're giving me all these updates. I was like, man, I am so excited for you. Like, I got to have you on the podcast to share what you've been doing, because we have a background. We've been working together, or I should say we were working together a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
Is that about right? About a year and a half ago? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it's almost a year to the day.
Okay. And then, I mean, you just took off this year. And what's going to come up during our conversation here is what I'm most happy about is I can tell in your voice how happy you are. And that just means a ton to me. So before we kind of dive into things here, why don't you give a sort of a quick background about who you are and what your background is?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm from San Diego, but what happened was my business story is that I was flailing for years on the business front. And then about 6 years ago, I opened an SEO agency, and that SEO agency quickly turned into like $1 million, you know, jack of all trades, SEO, marketing automation, writing blog posts, writing social media posts type of agency. And so although we had like, you know, a lot of revenue, I was not making a lot of money. I was not taking home a lot of money. So I shut that agency down. We subleased our office in downtown. My business partner left to go do something else. And then I kind of had to hit the reset button. That was about 2 years ago now. So you, and I've been following your stuff, you know, for a while, but that's when I met you. I signed up for your workshop. Mm-hmm. And really was giving Facebook ads a serious look as a business model. So you kind of got to see me at two very, very, very extreme moments in my life. And thankfully, this moment is a lot happier and a lot better one. So that's kind of the short history there.
Yeah. And when we started working together, you were doing that agency thing. And you were like, I'm glad you brought that up, because you were a jack of all trades. You were doing a little bit of everything. You were doing SEO, writing articles, content marketing. You were doing some Facebook ads. You were doing all kinds of everything. And that was one of the conversations that we had, was, are you ready to kind of niche down from there? Because that was one of the first things that I was able to see when we started working together, was that you were unhappy. And, you know, yeah, the agency was successful, but, you know, like you mentioned, the revenue coming into your pocket wasn't that much compared to what the agency was doing. So you kind of, I don't know how long it took you, so I want to hear about that, but when did you finally, because now here in 2016, you have been focusing on Facebook ads only. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. And it took me forever to figure this stuff out. Like, I've been doing online marketing for like 11 years and I know a lot about it, but that still doesn't mean that I was good at making a profitable business model. Like, those are two very different things, as you well know. Right. And so, yeah, so essentially about a year ago, especially at your workshop, I think you remember, I remember you asking me why I hadn't considered just doing Facebook ads as a service to clients, you know, basically having a Facebook ads only agency. And I was like, oh, blah, you know, I was like kicking and screaming, like, I don't want to do work for clients anymore. That stuff stinks. And now here I am today and I'm super happy to have a Facebook ads agency and I'm doing Facebook ads for clients. And that's the only thing I do.
And the reason I brought that up is because you had somebody on your team who was doing Facebook ads. You were learning Facebook ads and the clients that you were working with, and also, if I remember correctly, new conversations that you were having with other businesses were centering on Facebook ads. But you were very, like, you just didn't want to quite go there, which I totally respect. That's totally fine. But so at what point did you make that shift? So go from what you were doing, sort of jack of all trades, into the agency that you are right now.
Yeah, for sure. So it, like, what ended up happening was, you were right, I was getting tons of people asking me to do Facebook ads for them. And still, in that moment, the problem was that I did not specialize even further down from there. And so I had to even niche down even farther to make it to where it was, you know, it was not just waking up every day and trying to figure everything out brand new all the time, all over again, you know, because that's what, you know, the previous 3, 4, 5 years of my life looked like, you know, was constantly just figuring it out. And it gets tiring, you know, not only is it not profitable, it's time consuming, but it's stressful, it's tiring. It takes your best creative energy out of you at all times. And it largely goes unappreciated, I think, at the end of the day, you know? So essentially what ended up happening was I'd had a couple of pretty good relationships with some clients. And the reason why I said at the beginning of the podcast that I was from San Diego is because what I did was I reached out to a ton of my friends and family and business contacts and just said, hey, listen, you know, I'm considering starting a Facebook ads agency. And I'd be curious to know if you or, and then I would like get cut off in the middle of my sentence and they go, oh my God, I was just looking for somebody just like you the other day.
Right.
And like, it was like almost every single call that I made that was happening. And
now these were, just to clarify, these are people you already knew.
Yeah. These are like people in my warm network. So literally like just friends of friends and friends, like one of my good friends, she's a district manager at a restaurant. So I was like, you know, what do you think about that? And she's like, well, it's possible that we use it for a restaurant, but I can immediately connect you with like six other people who I know need this right now. And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of easy. You know, so what I ended up doing was I said, okay, well, I have lots of opportunity. So maybe what I should do is start off focusing in like a vertical or two. And it turned out that I had a ton of not only acquaintances and friends who are in the real estate industry, but I also for a brief time was in real estate before I started online marketing. So I knew the verbiage, I knew the business model. So I said, okay, well, let me just reach out to a few realtors and see how this goes. You know, maybe I can specialize in helping real estate agents. So I literally had, and I had a couple of other, you know, Facebook ads clients that were really small, were just in all different types of verticals. But I wanted to try to figure out how to narrow this down, right? So I literally, it was almost like the second I decided that, I started getting all kinds of people who are close friends of mine and acquaintances and even people who I didn't really know that well. Just, it was like, you know, God touched my Facebook newsfeed and said, realtors, real estate agents, you know, and all of a sudden I'm seeing all these. And to be honest with you, the day before that, they were probably still there. I just started paying attention to them, you know. But, you know, I really started to understand the power of a vertical because I reached out to one of them and I said, hey, dude, listen, I'm kind of new with helping realtors with this Facebook ads thing, but I've had some success helping a few of my other clients. What if I just ran an open house campaign for you for free, send you some free leads in exchange for a case study? He said, why would I say no to that?
Yeah.
And so they just happened to turn out that this guy is, you know, pretty well connected and stuff. And so I created what I think is like a home run campaign for an open house promotion. And then I used that as a case study to go out and get a bunch more realtors. And I sold them the exact same campaign over and over and over and over again.
That campaign was you said an open house campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did that kind of look like? So you did it the first time. And so as far as like setup, I mean, you're basically just targeting locally and you're getting the images of the home, or I'm assuming just like very simplistically, but from a strategic perspective and how you're pitching that to other realtors at that time, what did that conversation look like?
So what I just told him was, I said, look, we can target people. He like barely had a Facebook page, and he's my age. I went to high school with him. He basically was like, I'm kind of like just getting into real estate. Like, he was in the home remodeling business, and then he's getting into being a full-time agent at the time that I'm talking to him, right? So he does not have like a huge budget. He does not have this. He does not have that. But I was like, okay, well, you have a Facebook page, but let me show you what the ad tool can do. So we can target people by zip code, radius, income level, whether they're a homeowner or not, whether they're married or not, all these things. And what I can do is make it so that like 10 to 30,000 people in your neighborhood and your zip code around the open house know that your open house is happening. You know, so if I showed them an ad announcing what you would announce normally, like on a direct mail postcard or something, but I showed it to only people who you knew could afford to buy that house and who were like maybe a current homeowner, like meaning they would sell their house and come buy yours. Would that be of value to you? And I could do it for a fraction of the cost. Yeah. He's like, yeah. So I convinced him just to put a few hundred bucks into the ad spend. I mean, it was dead simple. The ad itself was dead simple. Sure. It was basically just announcing the open house. And we targeted people who could afford to buy a $900,000 house, because that's a pretty high price point. But the beautiful thing about it was all we did was send these people to a landing page that delivered the like tour video and the open house photos to them. So the form just said, punch your name and email address and phone number in here if you'd like to have the e-brochure and the video tour delivered to your inbox immediately, or your phone immediately.
Okay.
And that was it. That was the only thing the funnel did. It was not elaborate. We set up one follow-up email just saying the same thing, but a link to a PDF and a link to the video, and that was it. And that's it. It's the only thing that we did. And this thing just worked like gangbusters. It was crazy how well it worked. So we ended up getting about 100 leads for about $500. And yeah, then, which was nuts. And then he also got, so in the thank you email and the thank you page, we also just put like, you know, hey, here's my phone number. Text me or call me if you want to schedule a private showing. Or if you have any questions at all, just reach out to me with a picture of him with his, you know, license number and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So it felt very personal. So what happened was we started running the ad and he was getting like texts and phone calls and stuff. Well, by the time the open house happened, he already had a full price offer on the house and he had a few backup offers before the thing even ran. So he was just like, that's crazy, first of all. And then the open house happened and there was so many people there that he could not even talk to them all. There was like 200 people at this open house.
Wow.
So there was a lot that the property had going for it that definitely helped. I'm not going to lie. Sure. I'll tell you, like, you know, we did that for a turd property because we didn't. But at the same time, this guy was like, what did you do? You know, like, this is crazy. So that's how that first one ended up working out. And that just gave me momentum to go and, you know, book new business and have the confidence to tell other people that I could get them results, because that's what I was doing at that point, was selling results. And it just became a lot easier to talk about it after that, as you probably can imagine.
So you use that as a case study. I'm sure he gave you a testimonial to take into other realtors at that point. And what I love about what you're doing here is you didn't go to them and say that you could do X, Y, and Z. You said, look, I will do this campaign, this type of campaign for you. And so yeah, it was just pretty much replicating everything you'd done for that guy there. Now, I have to ask you this, and I'm sure that we'll talk more about this as we go, because I get this question pretty much on a daily basis. How did you start charging? I know that you did that. That was a free campaign for your buddy there. But as you went to other realtors, how did you start charging at that point? Or what were you offering them?
So what we ended up doing was, what we quickly figured out was that running this as just open houses as a business model required so much starting and stopping. So I started charging about $1,000 as a service fee to run the whole campaign for them.
Okay.
And then asked them to pitch in an additional $500 for the ad spend, just that went directly to Facebook. And the reason why we did that was because, you know, most agents were getting like between 50 and 100 people to their open house, and about 100 leads-ish. But what was happening was, like, it turned out to be not about the open house. It was actually an opportunity for them to get new clients.
Yeah.
In other words, it wasn't particularly serving that particular client they were having the open house for, but it was more like introducing them to new opportunities. And the open house was just the event that was the conduit to make that happen, you know? So we were selling it at about $1,000 for open house, but some realtors just wanted to do one and then not come back till they had another one and things like that. So
was that $1,000 for one, like for one open house, or because realtors have, I'm assuming they have multiple open houses, let's just say during a month, maybe they have maybe four during the month. Would that be, were you charging per open house or per month, or how is that working?
We got sick of all the starting and stopping, to be honest. So I decided to focus solely on top producers and brokers because those are the people who had the volume to just give them, like, we had some brokers that were doing like as many open houses as you want to pay the ad spend for $2,500 a month. Okay. And then we had some brokers who were paying us $5,000 a month plus, you know, as much ad spend as required to do, you know, like listing campaigns and buyers campaigns and open houses. So like, and that was sort of an all you can eat scenario. However, I have to tell you that we stopped focusing on that vertical because what was happening was that these agents and brokers were getting so many leads in such a short period of time that most of them like loaded up on leads basically. And then they were like, okay, we're going to spend the next 3 months, 6 months, 9 months servicing those leads and working them down. So they weren't built for growth,
Interesting.
At least people that we were helping. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that I find that is super, super common with small businesses, especially and service professionals, is they don't have the automation or leverage or the, you know, the training to handle growing that fast. You know, it's just, it's almost as if like, you know, I think you probably know this by now, Rick, but it seems to me like most small businesses have never tried paid traffic before for the purposes of scaling, you know? And that's what I figured out. So we quickly changed to a vertical that could handle more scale just from the business model itself, which is the health and fitness industry. And that's helped out with that problem a lot. So since like the beginning of this year, we've been focusing on just the health and fitness industry. And that's worked out a lot better. They can handle the scale much easier. If that makes sense.
Why did you shift to, I mean, I understand why you shifted, but why did you go to the health and fitness niche?
So one of our earlier clients was a massage therapist.
Okay.
And he actually introduced us to somebody who owns a small fitness studio. And what I found out about the fitness industry is that like if like a gym or a yoga studio or a Pilates studio or any type of fitness business that has group-based classes, it's a lot easier for them to fill up those classes. Like there's just not that much extra they have to do to fill the empty classes than they would have to do otherwise. Meaning they can have one person in a class or 30 people in the class, but they still have to keep the lights on, pay the staff to be there, have the same operational costs. Like everything's basically the same. The only difference is like the people are either there or not. Whereas like an agent, for example, is serving someone sort of one-to-one, right? So the gyms and fitness and health businesses typically have some sort of one-to-many model or group-based fitness model built into them. And so we could fill a lot more spots and a lot more classes. I mean, we can add hundreds and hundreds of new members to a gym and the gym's going to love it and they can handle it. You know, if I added hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leads to almost any professional services provider, they need to have some things in place.
Yeah. That's really smart.
You know?
That's really smart. You've really honed in, you've really niched down on the, or into the health and fitness niche this year. How many clients are you working with? Like, have you kind of experimented with and found sort of your groove as far as number of clients that you can work with at a time and really service them well?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've become more and more picky, which is a good thing, right? It allows me to serve the clients who I can really help to my maximum potential. And I mean, it sounds like, you know, most people who own a small business, they've experienced this before, but the more diluted their messaging gets and the more of a generalist or jack of all trades they get, the less they're able to actually solve one specific problem, right? So what I began to do is just help facilities that can take a little bit of a higher volume. So we stopped working with tiny yoga studios that just have like one room to fill, and that's the only thing they offer. Most of our clients are non-franchises who have a pretty high capacity, so they could add 50 new members a month with ease. They can really serve them well. And there's a lot of different types of things that the members can do. So they might have like Zumba class, Pilates, yoga, spin class, HIIT training, CrossFit classes, strength training, core trainings. So these are all different like class things that you can do at a gym that's of a certain size. And so we mostly help gyms that look like that.
Gotcha.
We're helping fewer clients than we have previously. We used to have a couple dozen clients, and now we've pared it down to like, I think we have 18 right now. But we're helping those 18 much, much more than we were helping, you know, when we had a ton of clients at my oldest SEO agency, sure. For example. You know what I mean?
So you've really niched down within the niche.
Yes.
I just want to kind of dive into that a little bit more because I think that's so important. And, you know, I think you and I were talking about this last week when we were chatting on the phone. And this is a conversation I have with a lot of my students who are managing ads for other businesses. And if they're just starting out, it's like the conversation I have, I'm not laughing at, I'm laughing because there's so much opportunity out there. Yet what I often see happening is they're picking sort of the hardest businesses to start off with. You know, yeah. It's like set yourself up for success right from the beginning, meaning like pick something that you know that you can help them right away and then start to build that momentum from there. And you start off, that's what you did. You start off with the realtors because you understood that market. You got some experience there, and then figured out that, you know what, this is not really a niche that is really working for me. I don't really want to focus on this. So we're going to pivot this way. And now you've niched down to within the health and fitness niche. What really has that allowed you guys to do outside of knowing exactly what works for them?
So, well, first of all, I can't understate how important that part that you just touched on is. Like, here's where the level of confidence that I'm at with clients. Now, I offer them a money back guarantee because if I'm working with somebody, I'm getting results. And that's what I care about most. Like, I think the thing that you and I have talked about at length is like part of my frustration with some of my previous agency clients for that. I cared more about the results than they did, mm-hmm. You know? Yep. And to me, I had a fundamental problem with having a business relationship with someone like that, because at some point down the line, they're going to go, well, this isn't working out for me. And I'm going to have to say, yeah, it's because you don't want to pick up the phone or make these changes or install this piece of software or fire the person that's holding you back or like something like that, you know? And I don't feel good about doing that, you know, quote unquote, beating business owners up. But also, someone who's got that type of attitude is unappreciative of the value of the help that I'm bringing to them. And yeah. So, you know, when I enter a relationship with a client now, I'm a trusted advisor. I'm a growth advisor. I'm helping them grow in a way that is good for their business. It's not this Groupon type thing where they get blasted one day with, you know, cheap tire kickers and they can't handle the business anyway. So it's a strain on them. And then the next day it's all gone, you know, and they're back to square one.
Yeah.
That's not the type of help that we're delivering. We're helping them profitably acquire customers, members, patients, you know, whatever the case may be, at a very steady pace, week in, week out, month after month. You know, we're doing it at a profit, so it's not putting a strain on their business financially. And we're growing it in a way to where it frees them up to plan, you know, make a promotional calendar, you know, plan their offers out for the year.
Yeah.
To really like get to know their customer and figure out what their customer's wants and needs are and help them craft that message so that they can be clear on their messaging too, you know? So what it's done is it's a lot, and that all starts with the results, you know? So sure. I'll share with you some of our gym client results here in a minute, but you know, I think what it does mostly is, you know, we're able to get those kinds of results for people. And we can get them fast with Facebook ads, like sometimes within a week, sometimes, it's been a day sometimes, which is really fast. But once they start to go, oh, this works, you know, oh, there's money in the bank mm-hmm. from your efforts. Oh, I can directly tie that ad dollar to the profit I just made. The conversation completely changes. They're able to relax. They're able to sleep. They're able to pay their staff. They're able to completely pay us. They're able to do the things that they know they should be doing, like the longer term things, instead of just, you know, struggling day to day, wondering what kind of crap they're going to put out there in the marketplace just to have it not resonate with anyone. So it creates space and comfort, like a comfort that most small business owners crave, frankly, you know, and it allows us to do our best work with them. I just can't explain how valuable that is. And I know that you know that, Rick, but yeah. For somebody who has never failed as hard as I have and who's been frustrated with not being able to help our clients in the way that we feel like we could and we should. Mm-hmm. It's just night and day different, man. I can't explain how valuable it is.
Yeah, it kind of leads me into that sort of my next question there about what you were talking about as far as, You know, when you're so niched down into these types of clients within the health and fitness space, it becomes a snowball effect, because when you need a new client, if you do, you can just use like the case studies and the results that you're getting from your previous clients that are just like these new ones that you might be approaching, and use that as leverage to get these new clients. Now, and you went into, I'm so glad you went into that, as far as like they're able to figure out exactly, you know, what the return is on the spend that they're spending on Facebook ads and on you and on you guys to run this for them. So they're able to see an immediate return, maybe not an immediate return, but they're able to very clearly calculate this out and able to, as you said, like make, you know, plan it and content calendar and promotional calendar and all this other stuff. How do you track that? How do you track that, you know, coming in from the cost of a lead from Facebook ads all the way through to, you know what, this person signed up for whatever it is, a free class or a free week's worth of classes, and then that person signed up or, you know, converted into a longer term paying customer?
Yeah, good question. So the service that we provide is 100% done for you, meaning we run a self-contained campaign for them. In other words, they know that every dollar that they spend on our service fee and the Facebook ads is resulting in a lead that can only have come from that one place.
Got it.
So what we do is we run, I'll just explain the framework to you because I'm sure people are wondering, but it's a simple Facebook ad. It's got a direct response offer. A Groupon style offer is the way I like to describe it, because people sort of know what that is. But like for a gym, you can offer a free trial for a period of time, like a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever you want to do. But so we craft a direct response offer that's actually good. It's not stinky and, you know, cold and corporate. And so we give them something that they want in the ad. They click away from the ad. They go to a landing page that we built for them that's usually got a video, but it essentially just reiterates the direct response offer and tells them why they should take action now. When the person punches in their name, email address, and phone number, that lead gets shot off to our client so that they can pick up the phone and call them and follow up with them in additional ways. But what also happens is a copy of that lead gets sent to a Google sheet that we share between us and the client. So we know exactly, we have a running list of all of the leads that came from that campaign, and both sides know exactly what's happening. So if the leads are working, what kind of volume is coming in for that day. For us, our client can type in whether they got a hold of that person or not. So we know if they're actually like picking it up with the sales to close the person and things like that. But that's the entire campaign, you know, is just, it's very simple, but it's like that quote that I love. It's like, if we have 10 hours to cut down the tree, we spend 8 hours sharpening the axe,
right,
2 hours executing on chopping the tree down.
Right.
You know, so that's how that works. And our clients, you know, it's funny because usually what happens is, like, this is starting something that I'm starting to notice happen, is the exposure gets added sales. Like the clients are starting to report back to us that not only have we sent them 100 leads and, you know, 20 of those leads turned into new members because they can just look at the database that we provided to them and everything, but they're saying that people are just walking out the street going, oh, I saw your Facebook ad and just decided to stop by. So they're reporting additional sales on top of what came through the funnel, which is
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shared with me, and if you don't want to share, that's totally cool. But you shared with me last week sort of a case study of a gym that you're either working with right now or have recently worked with. Can you kind of give some loose details on what that campaign looked like?
Yeah, for sure. And this is a good example of what's possible. Again, I'll give you guys, you know, basically the home run, what I think is a home run campaign. But we're doing this on the regular, on a smaller scale, like on a single, double, triple sort of scale with all of our fitness and health-based clients. So I hate to say these results aren't typical, but they just, because it sounds like I'm about to BS my way through it, but I have documentation on it all, and it's real. And I've even got the clients themselves saying this stuff on video. So I can assure you all this is real. But so the outcome that we achieved with this client after working for 3 months with us, this is just a local gym. It's not a corporate gym. It's not a franchise or anything. It's a single owner, single location gym with just about $2,100 in ad spend over a 3 month period. We were able to add over $200,000 in yearly revenue to their gym. And I think it's like over $60,000 in upfront fees over those 3 months. So yeah, that number is life changing.
Oh yeah.
To the guy who shelled out his life savings to start that place.
That was a spend of $2,100, you said, over 3 months?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what was the offer that you guys used?
So what we did was, this gym, it has a, it's like how I described our sort of like, the, you know, when you ask about what types of places we're focusing on, it's actually pretty darn big. It's got a spin studio, a yoga studio. It's got a CrossFit area, half basketball court. It's got a, like an open workout area so you can push sleds or, you know, there's all kinds of just stuff out that you can use in this open area. And then it's got the normal, like, you know, treadmills, free weights, all the machines. It's got tons of showers. It's got saunas. So it's a nicer place. You know, it's not cheap to go there. You're not paying $5-$10 a month to be over there. So essentially this place has a lot of capacity to add, to fill up. You know, it's got the size and the growth and this infrastructure to grow. So what we ended up doing was saying, let's look at all the other gyms who look like this gym, who offer something similar, right? Because we want to kind of compare apples to apples. And we took inventory of sort of what the market was offering as an introductory offer, and then we just made it better. It was very simple. We didn't try to reinvent the offer, get super fancy, or bribe people. So the offer for that one was a 10-day free pass, unlimited. So, you know, it's especially like if you're in a yoga or something, you understand that it costs $100 to $200 a month to have a yoga membership for unlimited yoga, right? The typical studio. So 10 days free is super valuable. If you want to go to a spin class every day, that's the same thing. It's like $150 a month, I think, for these like crazy spin studios, you know? So the value is really high. You could go to open gym, they have childcare. I mean, it's just, it's a really nice place to go. And 10 days is a pretty good value. And it's enough time for them to get to, you know, get to like it as well, right? Like one day is just not enough for people to, you know, go there and feel comfortable and like learn what they like about the place, et cetera. So 10-day free pass was the offer. The way it looked when the people went in was, you know, you just go to the front desk, get set up for your pass. They collect a little bit more information about you. And then the person is immediately, I call it indoctrination, but the person gets somebody who's in charge of making sure that they get a tour. They know where the lockers are. They know what's at the facility. They're comfortable with everything. They can set up a free personal training session if they want. You know, like a half-hour training session. So they really roll the red carpet out for them, which is part of the reason why this works so well for them. Right?
So they have that system in place to be ready for the possible influx of new leads coming in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Now,
that's key.
Yeah.
That's actually 50% of this or more. It's like if they don't have that, I can send them a million leads. And, you know, if they don't have a good system, then it's not going to work out well for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you said that you were doing, so you create the ads, obviously, you set all that, the campaign up, you do the landing page. Are you creating the images and the ad copy yourself, or how's that working?
Yeah, it's 100% done for you service. So,
but that's right.
We know it works. Yeah, we get pushback from clients all the time, and we always have to basically just say, look, we split tested the heck out of this by now. And, you know, I'm part of communities where they've also split tested the heck out of this stuff.
Yep.
And so why would you start with something that you knew didn't work as well as this?
Right.
You know, like why? I mean, if we have a good reason to, I'm open to that, but I haven't heard one yet. So we always start with that. And again, that's not me just being a jerk, but I'm after results. I want to get my clients results. We can get fancier after we're getting results, but let's get results first. How about that?
Sure.
Make money, right? Like, let's serve our clients.
You've also positioned yourself now and gotten to a point now where if you're like, the client is not somebody that's like, you know, lining up that you think is going to be good to work with, you don't have to work with them.
No, no. And in fact, I interview my clients now.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't, and again, this is not me saying I'm better than anybody else. I honestly believe that if the fit isn't a good fit, then we're both doing ourselves a disservice. I mean, at this point in my career, I've got kids, I've got a family, you know, I'm happy to connect people with somebody who's a better fit for them, et cetera. It's not about me saying, oh, I'm so cool, like that I've got, I'm turning business away. I just value that relationship and the time in my life and the time in their life that much to just be like, I can help a very specific person with a very specific problem. And if that's not you, that's okay. But this is what I need to know if you, you know, we even considered doing this together.
Yeah.
So I just started asking questions.
I love it. You are interviewing your potential clients now.
Yeah. For good reason too. Because
yeah.
Half the time they don't know what they want. And if they've never done paid traffic, especially they don't know what to ask for. They don't know what is the criteria for being a good fit for this kind of paid traffic. I mean, none of the people that I've done business with know those questions.
Yeah.
They don't know the criteria.
Yeah. You're the expert.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it. Rob, I can just see my listeners here. Those people in the health and wellness, or the health and fitness, I should say, niche, just being like, look, just tell me how to get in touch with Rob and his agency so we can start talking to them. Is there anything else I haven't asked you about that? Because I feel like we've covered a lot here today and you've been really gracious in sharing actual results from some of your clients. Is there anything we didn't talk about today that you think we should?
Yeah, honestly, I do. I think, so here's the thing, is if you're in a health and fitness, you know, business, health or fitness business, and, you know, so there's a couple things. I'll just give folks this nugget because this is a good one. And this could also be applied to a lot of other verticals, although I haven't tested it as extensively because I don't work everything anymore. But these are the two biggest things that I think that small business owners are behind on constantly, right? This is just something anybody can take away, but especially for the vertical that I specialize in, right? The two things that I think are big missing piece out of almost every business owner I talk to, and I talk to a lot of them every month, is number one, video. Mm. Video, I cannot explain to you how much of a difference it makes in not only the person's business, just overall, but in these types of campaigns, from a conversion perspective, if there's good video versus not, it's very hard for us to work with a business who either does not have a good video or who is unwilling to go make a video. And we have some resources for making really good video for low or no cost. So it's not about budget all the time, but it's more about willing to embrace the fact that we're living in a society where if you don't capture somebody's attention and get them interested on what you have to sell in a very short period of time, they're moving on to the next thing. That is the reality that we're living in, you know? And so the clients that we do have, they all have video, and that's for a very specific reason. And some of them come to us with good video and some of them don't. But that's one of my questions is, are you willing to go create good video according to our instruction, using some tools and resources we'll, you know, gladly help you with, yes or no? Because if the answer is no, then there's a better fit for you out there and we can just kind of call short, you know? And I've gotten that stringent with it because the client campaigns that are home runs and triples and doubles, they all have video. Mm. The client campaigns that are strikeouts or singles, typically they don't have video, or at least not good video, you know, meaning like clear video, good messaging. And so I think, you know, if any of your listeners follow Gary Vaynerchuk, or even you, I mean, you talk about it all the time, but, you know, like you've seen it enough, especially with local businesses, there's a small time frame to capture folks' attention. Yeah. Video is the clearest, most concise, most compelling, most engaging way to get that done.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Goodbye. You know, so that's one. Number two, I think most small businesses are also way worse at sales than they think they are. Like way worse. And I'll tell you why. There's a stat out there, and that stat is that if you don't call a lead within 15 minutes, your chances of actually getting a hold of them again go down by like 90 times, something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. And if you can get them on the phone within 5 minutes, the chances of reaching them are like 4 or 5 times higher than if you don't. So speed matters, especially if you're paying for traffic, but with your leads all around, almost every single business that I get on the phone with when we're talking, they don't have somebody to either pick up the phone or return a call or take care of that person and just get their immediate need met so that they can extend that relationship or turn them into a customer, client, patient, whatever it is. Guys, those are the two key fundamentals for like getting somebody to just even get the chance to give you money. You know?
Yeah.
So
is that part of the questions that you ask in sort of your interview when you're talking to potential clients?
Yeah. Those are the two first things that I ask. And if the prospect is difficult on those first two questions, I end the call. I mean, I just wish them luck and, you know, send them on their way. But sometimes they go back, they'll hang up and think about it or come back later and they'll call me and they'll go, okay, well, like, what do I need to fix to like get that done? You know?
Yeah.
And I'll tell them, I don't have a problem helping people, but those are the two things that are the linchpin for this to work. Literally. So, you know, those are, if you're going to take 100 opportunities and the person out of, I mean, like 100 leads or prospects, and 100 leads don't see a video and don't get followed up with quickly or in the right way, I can guarantee you, you're looking at really, really, I mean, like you might convert a handful of them. If you have video and you do have a good sales and follow-up process, it could be as high as 50%. The club that I gave you the stats for, the home run example, the 200 grand one, they've got both of those dialed and, you know, with our help, you know, they're experiencing about a 50% conversion rate on their landing page, which is just like insane. It's like, that means for every two clicks they send, they're getting one lead.
Yeah. That's great.
So everybody would die, or everybody should be jumping up and down if they have that in a small business. So that, I mean, just those two takeaways. And, you know, you don't have to do any of that with me. I'm not saying that I'm the best at that. There are definitely lots of good people who understand these concepts, but those are by far the two biggest things that I see that need improvement with small business owners in general.
Video and making sure that you have a really good follow-up sales system in place. When they do click on your ad and they do give you their lead information, their name and, you know, email and phone number, that you have a system in place where you can follow up with them very quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love it. Rob, this has been amazing. And we could talk about this. We could like continue on for hours here. But and I'm sure I'm gonna have to have it back on the show. Not have to. I would love to have you back on the show to continue this conversation here. Where can people, like I said before, I know that people are clamoring right now to find out how to get in touch with you. Where can people find you and connect with you?
Absolutely. So I'm a little bit old school in this department. I'm super one-to-one, super direct. So I'll give you two things. I'll give you my Facebook page. I'll give you my phone number that you can text. It's my business phone. So my business phone number
is... Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah, it's fine. Trust me. It's good. Just tell people to not be weird, please, in the show notes.
So you said 619?
Yeah, 619-202-8441 is the number.
So let me repeat that. 619-202-8441. That's Rob's business phone. So you can text him to reach out to him and to start a conversation. I'll have that on the show notes page also. And then what was your Facebook page?
Yeah, that's my cell phone. And then the Facebook page is just fb.com/Rob Bailey. And I spell my first name with two B's. So it's RobbBailey. And that'll take you to my personal Facebook page. Just send me a friend request and shoot me a message saying you heard me on Rick's show. I'll accept your friend request there.
So you got three B's in there for your full
three
name.
Three B's.
All right, got it.
Triple B.
FB.com.
Yeah, if you call me triple B in the message, that's just extra points.
That's bonus points. That's the hidden carrot. Awesome. Rob, thank you so much for coming on here, buddy. This has been amazing, and I'm sure that a lot of people are going to be reaching out to you here. Again, guys, I will make sure to post Rob's information on the show notes page. Rob, thanks again, and look forward to having you back on the show sometime soon.
My pleasure, buddy. Anytime.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this one with Rob today. Really good stuff. If you are liking the podcast here, please show your support by leaving a quick, honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes. It's a huge help. Only takes about 30 seconds to do it. Just go to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and leave your honest review and rating right there. We're currently at 184 ratings, and my goal is to hit 200 by the end of the year. We can totally do that. It's mid-November right now. We can definitely get about 16 more ratings by the end of the year. So if you've not yet left a rating, please take a quick second to do that. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. Really appreciate it. Thank you also for listening to the show today. I've got a lot of great episodes coming your way, including we're going to revisit some Pinterest ads coming up. We're going to talk about sales funnels and copywriting again coming up. A lot of good stuff coming your way. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.